Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I actually saw a story yesterday about these 239 doctors and specialists and scientists from around the world who are trying to get the World Health Organization to recognize that coronavirus is actually airborne. So let's talk about it.
Oh, let me give you the background. Because I actually heard from you, but also got a lot of WhatsApp for a lot of people about this. So it has made quite a media splash. So I think I need to explain it. I think it's well recognized, and I think this is nothing new, that that coronavirus is airborne. I think it's just the importance of airborne which is now being emphasized. But let me just explain what you mean by aerosols and what you mean by droplets. You know, from the respiratory tract, when one is speaking, singing, shouting, coughing, sneezing, we generate microscopic fluid particles of two types. The one type is we call droplets, and these are the larger fluid particles. These are microscopic, of course, you can't see them, but larger. And these are more than 5 micrometers. A micrometer is a thousandth of a millimeter. So it gives you some kind of a idea of the size. And these are the heavier particles which remain in the air only for a few seconds and then settle down onto a surface where they contaminate surfaces. Those are droplets. The others are aerosols. Aerosols are smaller even particles, less than 5 micrometers in diameter. And because they are smaller, they're lighter, and they may remain suspended in the air for hours, several hours at a time, in fact. So the conventional wisdom from the WHO and the CDC is that coronavirus is spread only by droplets, and only, in the ordinary circumstance. It's only in the healthcare system with aerosols. Now, the importance of aerosols, of course, because if they remain suspended in the air for hours, that is important in terms of virus transmission. So now what has happened is that these 240-odd scientists, the mainly environmental scientists in Australia and the United States, they've submitted an open letter to a journal called the Clinical Infectious Diseases, which is a very prestigious journal. It's the organ of the Infectious Disease Society of America. And they based their assertion that aerosols do play an important role, both on observational studies of outbreaks in various circumstances, and also studies of individuals who are shouting, speaking, singing, etc., etc. Now, I guess the kind of big question, what are the implications? I think there are really three main implications. If aerosols do play a major role, the first implication is that it explains why congregate environments where people kind of get together, parties, functions, houses of worship and so on, but then crowded spaces, small rooms, poor ventilation, these aerosol particles may remain suspended for quite a long period of time, and that's why you get these explosive spreads of infection. That's the one implication. The second implication, it does emphasize why airborne transmission is really by far the dominant route by which this virus, coronavirus, is spread. Far more important than surface contamination and so on. Not saying that hand washing is not important or surface decontamination is not important, because it is important, but really secondary to airborne transmission through the air. And the third very important implication is wearing of masks, because masks do prevent both airborne as well as droplet transmission very effectively. In fact, there's a publication recently out which has shown why when masks were introduced into both northern Italy and in New York City, that made the big difference. Not so much the physical distancing, not so much the other measures, but wearing masks is what made the difference. So I think it's quite an important study. I think we'll have to watch the space. The one problem, of course, is that they've never so far isolated infectious virus from these aerosols. They have from droplets and they have from surfaces, but not from aerosols as yet. So where they do air sampling studies, they haven't as yet shown infectious virus, but it probably is there.
Very interesting. I mean, how it would change when I've been listening to you talking to Simon every single afternoon, and even on your show, you're talking about how incredulous you are about going for a walk with your wife in the morning and there are people exercising without masks.
Yeah.
This aerosol and about coronavirus being airborne, you know, it's actually mind blowing
Yes.
Because it would change everything. Because it means that it's still there, even if there's nobody around you.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, outside is a better environment for two reasons. One of them because of the dilution factor in the atmosphere.
And I suppose the sun.
And the sun, correct. Another recent article where they in fact showed that sunlight, in fact, can inactivate the virus within minutes, about 6 to 8 minutes. But look, you're right. I mean, it doesn't need much to inhale to actually establish an infection. And it's amazing how people just totally disregard. You know, it's not difficult to wear a mask. A mask is not expensive. It's not difficult to wear it. I'm actually going to speak about it tomorrow as well on the show.
Yeah.
In more detail.
Yeah, thank you. Why do you think that we're not doing it? Do you think that we just live in denial, that it's something that happens to other people but not to us?
It's mainly the kind of younger folk who kind of feel done. I think I'm not just blissfully unaware of what's going on a few kilometers down the road at the hospitals. And they're just not aware of it. And maybe there's also a sort of a feeling of invincibility. If you're young and you're fit and you're healthy, if you do get infection, it's not going to be a problem. And that's not totally true. There have been young, fit people that have got seriously ill. One or two deaths as well.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And for
Barry, that is where we leave it.